This is All About Books on NET Radio. I'm your host, Pat Leach, Director of Lincoln City Libraries. It must have been 30 years ago when my late husband first introduced me to the mystery novels of James Lee Burke, featuring Dave Robicheaux. Set in Louisiana, sometimes in New Orleans, sometimes in New Iberia, Robicheaux is a man's man. He'll fight with his fists and toss aside his much better judgment to do so. He struggles with alcoholism. And yet, there's a lot going on with Dave. Here is how he introduces this latest installment, the book titled simply, Robicheaux. Like an early 19th century poet, when I have melancholy moments and feel the world is too much for us and that late and soon we weigh waste to our powers in getting and spending, I'm forced to pause and reflect upon my experiences with the dead and the hold they exert on our lives. This may seem a macabre perspective on one's life, but at a certain point, it seems to be the only one we have. Mortality is not kind, and do not let anyone tell you it is. If there is such a thing as wisdom, and I have serious doubts about its presence in my own life, it lies in the acceptance of the human condition and perhaps the knowledge that those who have passed on are still with us, out there in the mist, showing us the way, sometimes uttering a word of caution from the shadows, sometimes visiting us in our sleep, as bright as a candle burning inside a basement that has no windows. Dave makes a pet of the raccoon that visits his yard. He refers to titles in the literary canon. He respects the people around him who have nearly nothing in terms of status or money or reputation. This most recent title carries the hallmarks of the series. Dave himself, his grown daughter Alifair, who is wise and affectionate to her father, his best friend Cleet Purcell, a large man who loves Dave wildly but whose inattention to keeping his own affairs in order adds layer upon layer of complication. In Robicheaux, Dave is still mourning the death of his third wife, Molly. Dave's encounters with women in this story show him not to be a jerk, mostly. He has opportunities to return to the bottle, and that's always going to be bad. He climbs down into a pretty dirty underworld to solve the crimes before him. He struggles with after effects of his time serving in Vietnam, and as a result, sees Confederate soldiers in the mist of the bayou. Burke creates a tangled web of evildoers that includes a man who abuses his son, another one running for office who is not what he projects on stage, a New Orleans loan shark who owns some of the debts of Dave's buddy Cleet, and a remarkably weird but effective contract killer who murders plenty of people who deserve it and a few who don't. By the end of Robicheaux, it's become difficult to untangle the web these characters have woven, but by then, it's almost as if it doesn't matter. I was talking to another reader of these series who noted that James Lee Burke's formula is basically to introduce the story with Robicheaux where you think you know who the bad guy's going to be, and then in the next portion of the book, you find out that bad guy's just the start of it and there's somebody way worse. Several somebody's way worse just behind him that Dave has to wade through in order to solve the mystery. I read only a few series mysteries in a year, and I often seek out a Dave Robicheaux book, largely because James Lee Burke writes so well. In particular, his descriptions of Louisiana are beautiful. Here's one of those descriptions. The temperature had hit 98 degrees at 4 in the afternoon. The humidity was eye-watering and as bright as spun glass, as tangible as lines of insects crawling on your torso and thighs. At sunset, lightning pulsed in the clouds over the gulf, but no rain fell, and the wind was dry and hot and smelled of road tar and diesel fuel. I walked down to the bayou and watched the sun shrink into an ember between two black clouds and disappear. Then the wind died and the trees stood still, and the surface of the bayou quivered in the sun's afterglow, as though a molecular change were taking place in the water. It's a phenomenon that seems unique to South Louisiana, like a sea change, as if the natural world is reversing itself and correcting an oversight. Burke's explorations of Dave's complicated personality don't try to oversimplify, and they are another mark of this mystery series. Even though he creates a few characters who are pure evil, mostly he shows people doing the best they can despite their flaws and imperfections. As I noted, these are mysteries, and we do expect that Dave will solve the mystery set before him. And to my mind, this part is of least importance. Something I admire in the way James Lee Burke plots his mysteries is the loose ends he leaves. In this story, that creepy contract killer doesn't end up as we'd expect in a more traditional mystery. Burke excels at every primary pathway that draws people into novels: setting, character, plot, and language. Speaking more generally, I've been reflecting on what is it about books written in series that is so appealing. In less developed mystery series, much of the appeal is the simplicity and predictability of all of those elements. They probably require fairly little of the reader, except the time it takes to read from the first to the last page. A series writer like James Lee Burke demands more of his readers. Books about Dave Robichaux can't be entirely predictable because of his nature. I don't knock people for seeking the comfort of predictability in some of the books they read, but when that's all a reader seeks, he's missing out. This series allows readers to return to the characters and settings they know, with the added feature that James Lee Burke will take those things and create something almost entirely new with them, using language that from time to time stops you in your reading tracks. I'm likely to recommend Robichaux by James Lee Burke to a variety of readers who enjoy mysteries and yet who demand complex characters and rich language. Those who've read previous Robichaux titles won't be disappointed by the complications Burke sets for him this time. Those who are new to him will get the pleasure of being introduced to an interesting array of people. Mystery readers are aware that the world of mysteries is remarkably broad, and there are many different categories in the mystery genre. In a demonstration of the wide world of those mysteries, at about the same time I read Robichaux, I also reread a Dorothy L. Sayers mystery featuring Lord Peter Wimsey and Harriet Vane called Half His Carcass, first published in 1932. Sayers, too, was well known for his skill with language, and Lord Peter had a deep and serious aspect, even as he often played up his lightweight status as a man of independent wealth and leisure. Have His Carcass was a challenge for me, in that as Lord Peter and Harriet Vane work to figure out the death of a man on a lonely beach, the focus seems entirely on clocks and alibis and ciphers and evidence. I'd be curious to know how many mystery readers do as I do, which is to read along, paying little attention to the trail of evidence, happy to be told the solution without working it out myself as I read. Again, the charm of Lord Peter Wimsey books is the skill of its author in creating something distinctive from characters to which the reader returns over and over. That's a particular draw of well-done series fiction, whatever its genre. It would be difficult to find two mystery series that seem less alike than those featuring Dave Robichaux by James Lee Burke and the Lord Peter Wimsey series by Dorothy L. Sayers, defying the assumptions of those who see series mysteries as a big clump of very similar books. In such different ways, both have much to offer the reader new to the world of mysteries. In my ongoing encouragement for readers to read outside their usual grooves, I offer each as a quality series, with a note of advice to ponder what you're seeking and to read the book jacket thoroughly before you commit. The book I reviewed today is Robichaux by James Lee Burke, with an additional mention of Half His Carcass by Dorothy L. Sayers. You've been listening to All About Books on NET Radio. Podcasts of this and other programs are available online. Visit netnebraska.org/radio. For All About Books, I'm Pat Leach.